Would you turn back to Psalm 40? Lord willing, this evening I'm going to speak on the subject of biblical self-image. It's from Luke chapter 17. What is a biblical self-image? Everybody's got a self-image, but what is a biblical self-image? This morning I want to speak on this subject. What a real sinner needs. What a real sinner needs. Now, Psalm 40 is quoted by the writer to the Hebrews as the very words of Christ. Look in verse 6 of Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, is there any doubt who's speaking? These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 6 through 8. So this is Christ speaking. And look how he describes his preaching. Verse 9, he says, I have preached, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now, every preacher would do well to follow this model. This is how Christ himself preached. He said, first of all, he tells us what he didn't do. He said, I've not refrained, I've not hid, and I've not concealed. Now that is so very important. Quite often a false prophet is seen not by what he says, but what he doesn't say. And here the Lord says, I've not refrained, I've not hid, I've not concealed. And what was his message? He said in verse 9, I've preached righteousness. Whose? Look in verse 10. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. There's only one righteousness. His. I've declared thy faithfulness. I've declared thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now, let's read the verses I read at the beginning of the service. And remember, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Now, somebody's thinking, how could these be the words of Christ? He never sinned. He never sinned. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And in him was no sin. So how in the world could these be the words of Christ? Because they are the words of Christ. Look in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Who's the only one who ever did that? There's only one who did that. Christ himself. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he says this when he never sinned. Well, what this does is it shows us the reality of imputation. The reality of my sins actually becoming his. And him feeling the guilt and the shame of them. You know, this makes us feel bad, doesn't it? To think of my filth being placed in him and him feeling the shame and the guilt. Now, this is why he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's felt them. He knows what it is to feel guilty and ashamed and forsaken and alone. He felt all of that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat great drops of blood, when he was hanging on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, he was forsaken by God. God really did forsake him. That's what I deserve. But he took my place and he felt all of this himself. And that's why, oh, thank God, he's touched. He's moved to sympathy by the feelings of our infirmities. But let's read these verses again. Verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I need to be preserved. I need to be kept. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Now those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those are also the words of David. And David is telling us how he felt about his own personal sin and what he needed from the Lord. As I've said, I've entitled this message, What a Real Sinner Needs. Now, this confession of sin that David makes, I don't think there's a more powerful confession in all the Word of God, what he says about himself. And he tells us what he needs. And you know, I was thinking about this. An unbeliever could never feel this way about their sin. They couldn't enter into this. You know, it's interesting. I was, whenever I prepare a sermon, I get on sermonaudio.com and I try to find out anyone who's preached a sermon on this, on whatever I'm preaching on. And I plugged this in and I was listening to a preacher who said, David was a really sinful person. And I thought, you're not. You're not. I mean, this is, you know, he talked about David that way. But an unbeliever could never enter into this confession of sin. He just couldn't do it. Now look what David says in verse 11. He says, withhold not. Now here's the first thing that I need. I need the Lord to not withhold from me. I need him to give to me. I can't handle being left to myself. Withhold not. Now David knew if the Lord did withhold, he'd be just. But he said, oh Lord, please don't withhold this from me. I need the Lord. This is what I need. I need the Lord to not withhold from me. I need him to give me his grace, to not withhold. Let's go on reading. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth, it's got to be according to truth, continually preserve me. Now, turn over to Psalm 51 for just a moment. Remember the words loving kindness and tender mercies. David says in Psalm 51 verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Now, if you know anything about the history of Psalm 51, he's writing this psalm after he had actually committed murder and committed adultery. He was guilty of these. He didn't just think it, he did it. And he is praying for forgiveness at this time. And the only argument he has with God, he says, "Forgive me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Put them away." Now this is what David is asking for at this time. Turn back to Psalm 40. "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." I need to be preserved. If the Lord doesn't preserve me, I'll fall away. Right like that. And I know that right now. If he doesn't keep his hand on me, it's over for me. I need to be preserved. Now, look what he says in verse 12. This is what he says about his sin. "For innumerable evils." Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Everywhere I look, there they are. "Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me like a vice grip. I can't get away from. So that I am not able to look up." I can't even look up. "They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me." Now notice the number of his sins. Innumerable. Innumerable. "More than the hairs of my head." And they had a presence of compassing him about. Everywhere he turned, there they were. And they had a grip on him. See, he said, "They've taken hold of me so that I'm not even able to look up. I'm paralyzed by them to where I can't even look up." You'll not find David making excuses for his sins. They were all his fault. And this is the way he comes into God's presence. Not like Adam, "The woman that you gave me, she gave me of the fruit and I did eat." You've never confessed your sin. I've never confessed my sin until I've seen that it's all my fault. 100%. I don't blame God. I don't blame God's sovereignty. I don't blame my circumstances. It's all my fault. Now, he simply says, "My heart, that's my big problem. My heart fails me." Now, this is what it feels like to be a real sinner. Not a complimentary sinner. You know, "Are you a sinner?" "Sure." "Isn't everybody?" That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who before God, they see that they are evil. Sinful. Without any personal righteousness at all. A real sinner. Not just one, a complimentary one. But I mean a real sinner. What does a real sinner need? Well, look what David says, verse 13. "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." Now, what does a real sinner need? I need the Lord to be pleased to deliver me. This is the same appeal that the leper had. He's appealing to the sovereign pleasure of God. This is what I need. I need God to be pleased, for it to be His sovereign will to deliver me. Isn't that what the leper said? Oh, the leper came and worshiped Him saying, "Lord, if you will." Do you hear what he's saying? My salvation is totally up to your will. Not my will. If you will, you can make me clean. That's what I need. I need to be made clean. And the only way I can be made clean is if it's your sovereign will to make me clean. Now this is what a real sinner needs. Somebody who has innumerable evils compassing them about. Somebody whose iniquities have taken hold upon them so that they're not even able to look up. All they can appeal to is the sovereign will of Christ. If you will, Lord, be pleased, let it be your pleasure to make me clean. Now God, I like saying this, God is. God is. And He is as He says He is. What you and I think about God has no bearing on the reality of who He is. He is as He says He is in His Word. And we're thankful for that, aren't we? He's faithful. He's faithful to who He is. Now, in His Word, He tells us what He's pleased with. You know, David said, "Be pleased to deliver me." Well, in His Word, He tells us what He Himself is pleased with. And I want to know what He's pleased with, don't you? I want to know exactly what He's pleased with so that I want to find out how He can be pleased with me. Because I know in and of myself, He can't be pleased with me. So how could this holy God actually be pleased with me? Now in the Word, I repeat, this glorious divine being tells us what pleases Him. Well, first of all, do you know that God is pleased with everything He does? Everything He does, He's utterly pleased with. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. Psalm 135. Psalm 115. David, where's your God? Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" Whatever God does, He's pleased with. You know, that's a glorious thing about Him, isn't it? Whatever He does, He's pleased with. Whatever He does is glorious. Well, Colossians 1:19 says, "It pleased the Father that in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell." Now, that's what pleases God. It pleased Him that in His Son should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead. And you know, when I try to talk about the fullness of the Godhead, I feel really stupid trying to talk about this. His immensity, His sovereignty, His holiness, His faithfulness, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His eternality, His immutability. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His body. And that's what pleases God. Now, when I thought about this, I thought about the Mount of Transfiguration. When the Lord takes Peter and James and John up into a mountain and prays before them, and while He's praying, His deity bursts through His humanity. His face shines like the sun. His clothes become white and glistering. And Peter had to talk at this time. He didn't know what else. You know, he had to say something. He said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles. One for You and one for Moses and one for Elijah." You see, when He was transfigured before them, Moses and Elijah appeared to Him. And you know what they talked about? They talked about the decease which he should accomplish. You see, his death was an accomplishment. Oh, isn't that glorious? His death was an accomplishment. He accomplished something by his death. He accomplished the complete salvation of all of God's elect. Now, Peter said, let's make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then a bright cloud came down and overshadowed them. And a voice came from the cloud, the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now when I talk about what I need more than anything else to be found in Christ. So that when God looks at me, all he sees is Jesus Christ. Do you need that? That's what I need. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now here's what a real sinner needs. I need to be found in Jesus Christ, so that when God looks at me, all he sees is Jesus Christ. That's what baptism depicts. You know, when you go under the water, you're all the way under the water. And when you're seen only under the water. I need to be seen only under Christ, in Christ. So that's all that God sees. Now that's what a real sinner needs. I need to be found in him. He's the one in whom God is well pleased. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, would you turn with me there? 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. You have done all this wickedness. He didn't say you hadn't done it. He said, you're guilty of this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they're vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord. It hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now here's what I need the Lord to do for me. I need him to be pleased to make me his people. This is just another word for election. I need him to choose me and make me his people. I need him to do that. You know, I think it's amazing that there are people who claim to preach the gospel and they don't even preach election. I'm not one of them. Election is much a part of the gospel as any other aspect of the gospel. I need him. I need him to sovereignly reach down and choose me and make me his own. You know, by the grace of God, you're not going to hear this sinner proclaiming or complaining against election like it's wrong or unjust on God's part to choose one and pass by another. I know what I deserve. I deserve to be sent to hell right now. That's what I deserve. And oh, how thankful I am for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. Is that good news to you? That salvation is not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I need God's electing mercy. I need him to choose me and to make me to be one of his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to be made his people, don't you? Lord, do that for me. I turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Now remember David's plea, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. I'm thinking about what the Lord's pleased to do. Verse 10. Yet, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to crush him. And that's what happened on the cross. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, I don't know how to say this the way it ought to be said, but I need the Lord to take my personal sin on himself. And that makes me feel horrible to think of him experiencing that. But I need the Lord to take my sin off of me, to lift it off of me and place it upon his blessed Son. And I need for him to be bruised and crushed and feel the awful weight of the wrath of God for me. I need him to do that for me. That's what a real sinner needs. You see, the only way my sin can be dealt with is by the Lord putting it away to where it is no more. I need, oh how I need the Lord to do this for me. I need him to stand as my surety, as my substitute, and put away my sin. God is holy, sin must be punished. I need Christ to bear my sin away. I love that scripture in Hebrews 9:26. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that's exactly what he did. That's what I need. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now would you turn to Isaiah chapter 42? You're already in Isaiah. Verse 21 of Isaiah, chapter 42. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. A real sinner needs the righteousness of Christ. Now this is what I need. This is what every real sinner needs. I need the righteousness of Christ so that God can be pleased with me for his righteousness' sake. His law keeping, him magnifying the law and making it honorable by his life. I need, oh how I need his righteousness. We read in Matthew chapter 6 when Paul was reading, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. How I need the perfect righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ. I don't only need my sin paid for. I need that. I need my sin paid for and put away and blotted out. But not only do I need my sin paid for, I need to have a righteousness that God is pleased with. I need. Oh, I need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, in my case, there isn't any righteousness but his. And every person who's a real sinner believes that. The only righteousness there is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, I love this, the world by wisdom, by its own wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I need, and this is what this sinner needs, I need to hear the preaching of the gospel. I need to hear the preaching of the gospel. Nothing less will do. I need to hear, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I need to hear that. I need to hear it over and over again. I need to hear, this is a faithful saying and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. I need to hear, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yeah, I need to hear that over and over again. I need to hear the gospel. You know what pleases God? This is what pleases God. By the foolishness of some fool like me standing up and declaring his word. That's how God saves sinners. And I need to hear the preaching of the gospel. But not only do I need to hear the preaching of the gospel, I need to be given ears to hear. I need to be given a heart to receive. I need to be able to hear the preaching of the gospel. So that's what I need. I need the preaching of the gospel. Let us come boldly, the scripture says, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I need the preaching of the gospel. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. You know, this man never died. He was just walking along the road one day, and all of a sudden God took him up into heaven. He never experienced physical death. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. People were looking for him, evidently. Whatever happened to Enoch? Nobody could find him. He was gone. God took him up. Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what do you think of when you think of Enoch pleasing God? Do you think of a man that was just so holy and so righteous that God just said, I got to get him up here? He was just as sinful as me and you. You believe that? He was just as sinful. He had the same wicked thoughts. He had the same wicked motives. He did the same bad things. He was a sinner, just like me and you. Yet he pleased God, verse 6, but without faith, it is what? Impossible. Impossible. It's not going to happen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what I need? I need faith. You know, there's a passage in Galatians chapter 3 that, as a matter of fact, turn with me there. Galatians chapter 3. I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm going to preach on this in a few weeks. But it was such a blessing to me to look at it. Verse 23. before faith came. You know what that means? It came. It came. It's not something you didn't come to faith. Faith came to you. Isn't that your experience? You found yourself believing. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Look in verse 25. But after that faith is come, oh, may faith come to me. May the Lord give me this faith. Now, what is faith? You know, anytime I try to define faith, it makes me nervous because I don't want to mess it up. And it's the easiest thing to mess up, you know, because of all the warped ideas we have. What is faith? Faith is a complete reliance upon Jesus Christ as everything in my salvation. How much does God look to Christ to accept me? How much? Does he look for everything in his son to accept you? Well, you know he does. That's how much we look to Christ for acceptance. However it is that God looks to him, we look to him. It's called faith in Christ. And if I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as everything God requires of me, I'm leaning on him. I'm resting in him. I'm looking to him. I'm not looking to myself for a thing because there's nothing there to look for. There really isn't. I'm looking wholly to him. And you know what that means? That means God, the holy, spotless, righteous God, is pleased with me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. I need faith. I need him to give me faith. Let me say this. If you can't come to Christ with faith, come to Christ for faith. Ask him to give it to you. Faith in himself. Now turn back to Psalm 40. David says in verse 12, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me." Somebody's wondering, what do you reckon David was doing that made him talk that way? May the Lord give us a true sense of sin. Verse 13. Here's the only thing he could plead. "Be pleased. Oh, may this be your pleasure. May this be your will to do this. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Save me. Oh, Lord, make it your pleasure to save me. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself. Save me. Be pleased to do this for me. It's up to you. I can't merit this. All I can do is fall at your feet and say, oh Lord, be pleased to do this for me. I don't have one thing to recommend myself to God. I'm bankrupt and I have great needs." Look down in verse 17. Look what David said about himself. He said, "I'm poor and I'm needy." You know, he described himself this way 10 times in the scripture. This is David, the man after God's own heart. And he describes himself thusly: "I'm poor. I don't have anything that would recommend me to God, and I have great needs. Would this be you? Poor and needy. He said, I'm poor and I am needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. You know, if you're not in a hurry for God's mercy, you don't really even need it. If you're in a hurry for God's mercy, it's because you desperately need it. Don't make any tarrying. Don't leave me to myself. Don't make haste and help me. Remember me. Think on me. Now this is, David is here praying the same thing the thief prayed, isn't he? Lord, remember me. Just think on me. Remember me when you come in your kingdom as a mighty reigning king. Remember me. Now this is what a real sinner needs. I'm not talking about someone who does wrong things and makes mistakes every now and then. I'm talking about a real bona fide sinner before God. This is what a real sinner needs. First, he needs to be found in Christ. He needs to be made one of his people. He needs God to choose him. He needs Christ to be bruised in his place. He needs to have the very righteousness of Jesus Christ as his own personal righteousness before God. He needs to hear the gospel. Nothing else will do. He needs to hear the gospel of God, the truth. And he needs to be given faith. And he needs for the Lord to deliver him. Nothing less will do. That is what a real sinner needs. May God make every one of us real sinners with these real needs. Let's pray.